NRP S2 E10, getting things printed. Hey everybody, welcome to today's episode. Today we're going to be talking about getting things printed. Now, this is an important thing to learn about because when I first started making comic stuff and working on the web and whatnot, I was a little hazy on the whole print res thing too, and a number of things you want to do to get stuff printable. And there are plenty of other people that they start out, they put their stuff on the web, and they don't think about print in the beginning, and it really screws them up later. So let's talk about a few simple things. Now, the biggest thing to remember is print resolution and screen resolution are different. Screen resolution has to do with showing stuff on, you know, an image on the screen, and it's usually about 72 dpi. Now we've got Retina displays on iPhones and iPads and stuff, and, you know, it's getting higher resolution. The resolution is how many dots per inch on the image, or there's dpi dots per inch, and then there's other terminologies, but screen res, for the most part, is 72 dpi. Print resolution, really, you're going to want to go for at least 300 dpi, up to about 6. I mean, anything beyond that, you're really just adding data for the sake of adding data, and it's going to slow things down. You know, good spaces to go for between 3 and 6. Some people go for 4. It depends on what your computer can handle. Now, another thing to think about is CMYK versus RGB. Now, when you make a file in the GIMP or Photoshop, usually it's set, just like with screen resolution, it's set for monitor color. RGB is primarily for monitors. I mean, there are exceptions, just like there are exceptions with print resolution, where sometimes, say, you're printing a banner, you don't really want that at 300 dpi. Usually that's like 150 or a certain resolution for printing huge files, and it's usually a very simple image too. CMYK and RGB. This has to do with how the colors work. CMYK is print. It's how the colors mix versus RGB. If you do a conversion in Photoshop, you'll see that RGB colors tend to be more saturated and more web colors than print colors, because if you try and print them, they'll often come out darker, and it's usually better to work in CMYK. There are some printers that prefer you use RGB, so it's a good idea to remember to look into which printers you're using, which they suggest, and also do some test conversions in different programs to try things out. Also, I recommend that if you're going to be printing stuff for books, for example, where you're going to have a lot of pages, it's best to work in templates. Now, I've mentioned templates before in doing your workflows, and it's a good idea to have a template. You can find them on printer websites, or they'll have specs that you can make a template, and it's usually a good idea because if you're making a comic, say, for the internet, and you're doing a lot of the same image, you know, panels over and over, but you don't have a standard size, and you're just kind of, you know, making it up each time you're doing one, you can have a lot of problems with consistency and realizing, oh no, half these are vertical and then they need to be horizontal, and it's just a lot easier to deal with. Plus, it's also easier to, in the prospect of laying out pages, laying out the book, and laying out just the page you're working on at the time, it's a lot better to have a template to work with. Now, another thing is you're going to want to flatten your layers if you're doing something like Photoshop or some other program that supports layers. You're going to want to flatten them because this locks them in, so that way they won't shift or change, and you know, you're going to want to rasterize your text too, which is the same as flattening layers. It just takes this image that's a variable, that it's floating, you can move it around, and you're locking it down. And as long as we're talking about locking things down, let's talk about use of black, specifically trapping blacks. Now, the issue with trapping blacks, it goes back to earlier printings. You know how old comic books will have the color slightly off, so if there's a halo of a red around a character, or there's, you can see where the blue is supposed to go, but then there's a blank space, or sometimes the colors bleed over each other and they don't look right. This is a a printing issue. It's become less of a problem today with digital printing because it's easier to get all the colors in the exact spot rather than laying down. Because when I was in printmaking classes and you had to do, say, reduction block style printing where you do light color, then you cut back and then do a darker color and then cut back and do a darker color, and you had to constantly align it, that's a pain. But digitally, it's a lot easier now, and there are tutorials on how to do it properly and things to deal with. Also, when dealing with black, you have to do the issue of rich black versus plain black. Now, in programs like Photoshop, I'm going to be talking about that a lot, but other programs, you're going to want to realize that when you print something, black, there's variations of how black is black. And also, sometimes you think a color is going to print a safe density, a safe amount of a color, a 20%, a 30%, or whatever of the black, or you think, oh, I'm just going to make this image black, but then you realize that all your black variables aren't the same amount of black. You know, you think, oh, this is a black image on a black background with white outlines, it's going to look great, and then you print it and realize, oh, the thing in the middle looks gray. It's a matter of knowing what is true black, and there are tutorials online about that. It's about values, it's about your settings when you're making the file and the color profiles and stuff like that. And I'll link stuff in the blog about this because this is an audio podcast and stuff sometimes works better with visual representations. So there's that. Now also when you're printing, you want to be aware of paper weights and types because, you know, really thin paper stuff or newsprint. Newsprint is not meant to be kept for a long time. It's not archival. It'll turn yellow with age and basically exposure to oxygen, because I've got sketch pads that I've tucked away that don't have access to sunlight and air, and they haven't turned yellow, but then there's old newspapers I've got that they just crumble. They, you know, that's paper, and cardstock is thicker than paper. Now, paper weight, you know, when they say, oh, 65-pound press paper, paper weight is really when you have so many sheets, I think it's 500 or 1,000, how much that weighs for that many sheets. So usually the heavier is the thicker paper, and it's usually what you want. You want to find a nice thick paper. You don't want something overly thick. It's a good idea if you're going to have some place printed to get an idea of what that paper is like. Get some sketchbooks, get some printing samples at some printers if you're going to a print shop. And it's a good idea to figure out just how thick the paper is, what the texture is like, because sometimes, you know, a texture, you think it's something, and then you get it and go, this is just horrible. You know, it's, you have to actually know, and most printers will have what kind of paper you're getting in the order when you're placing it if they have the customization. I mean, usually if it's a one-size-fits-all shop, then the paper's probably going to be something cheap. There's also matte versus glossy. Now, glossy is the, I believe it's usually, they put a coating over the printing so it looks shiny, like it's printed from a shiny magazine. And some people like that. Some people don't like it. You know, I mean, it could also have something to do with the inks involved, depending on the process. But by and large, it's the shininess versus matte, which is flat, no shine. And it depends on what you want. Again, when you find examples from a printer to see what they look like, some people do gloss and it looks fine. Others, you look at it and go, this looks cheap. This looks like they ran off a whole bunch of these and didn't care. That's for printers. Let's talk about printing at home. Now, I have a printer. I actually have several. I've got one of those cheap little things for running off, you know, you get a form or something you need to mail to somebody, a cheap printer. And then I've got my Brother 3-in-1 that I've used for scanning. And also it does really nice, you know, fairly nice prints. It's a little muddy, really. I don't use it too often. In fact, personally, I don't recommend printing at home. I mean, for forms and stuff you need to do for office stuff or mailing, and maybe if you have like one image that you want to print off one, or for printing off reference or stuff like that, it's fine for that. It's fine for having for smaller things, but if you're wanting to print, say you're wanting to do your own books or your own posters or your own artist prints, yeah, having your own printer would be nice for that, but also I personally think it's a money sink because ink is expensive. In fact, you're going to find, I found it numerous times, that refilling ink, I mean, yes, there are ways to fill ink yourself and do it cheaper, but printers anymore are, you can buy a printer with ink, and it's cheaper than buying the printer cartridges to replace, especially when the print, like my brother 3-in-1, it does a thing every night where it cycles to clean the printer heads, which is a nice idea, but it also runs the print down, the ink down, because I know I've only printed so many things, but after so many of these little self-cleaning cycles, it's already low on different colors ink. And it's always weird. I mean, there are plenty of, what? Why? You don't have enough ink to print my image, but you have enough to print the low ink warning and, you know, test the cleaning of the heads paper and all these things, this garbledygook that you don't want to read. Printing at home, it's possible. I recommend doing it for very small things, because you're going to have to do proof printing, too. It's important that when you print something that you test the settings in your Photoshop document, in your printer, and all kinds of different variables, because sometimes, if you're printing it from Photoshop or if you're printing it from your preview program that comes with your operating system, things can look different. Things can print differently. Sometimes you're going to have the bleed. The bleed is an issue of borders when you're cutting paper. So if you print an entire sheet of something and trim it, if you do this for a book and you want to do like a texture for all your pages, or you want all your pages to go black, and when they cut it, they might cut and miss the border, and then you'll see that little sliver of white. You know, it's important to know how things print out. Personally, printing by yourself, you're going to have to proof things, because if you click the wrong setting sometimes, it'll print out and you realize, oh, it shrank it, oh, it didn't scale it, oh, the cropping of it is wrong. In my personal opinion, it's better to go have someone else print it, because if they mess it up, that's on them. So it's a simple matter. Now, it gets expensive, and that's why you want to save this for the bigger things. If you're printing, like, you know, one thing for somebody as a present or something, if you have a decent enough printer, that's cool. But, you know, you might want to go have stuff printed by somebody else, because they won't you don't have to suffer the cost of their ink. I mean, sure, that's going to be funneled down to you, especially if depending on the paper quality and the kind of ink and what kind of printing costs they have. And that's why you've got to shop around too. Now, local printing, there are local print shops, obviously. You know, I mean, everybody whose dad had a copy machine at the office suddenly found themselves in the 80s printing zines, you know, which are, you know, cheap copy printer printed on both sides, stapled, some aren't even cut, some are just folded, you know. And the zine culture, I think, is a very interesting thing. But, of course, I'm a little too young for that. But, you know, you go to, like, the Kinko's, or you go to Staples, or you go to Office Max. You want to shop around, you want to find out what shops are near you, who will print, and what you need printed, you know. And do they accept a file? Do you have to bring it? Can you bring it on a flash drive? Do you have to burn it to a disk? Can you email it to them? Also, there's online printers, which, again, you know, if you're looking, you really want to shop around, because there are a lot of options here. Seems everybody's trying to make money printing things and doing stuff cheaply, so it's really worth shopping around. And also, it has to do with what kind of post-production, you know, printing requirements you have. If you're printing a book, you need to not only have it printed, they need to bind it. And then if you're going to have it printed from certain printers, sometimes they want to do, oh, we'll design it for you, we'll market it for you. You know, and these aren't, like, the big industry things or anything. These are just people trying to sell you a package. So, it's important to comparison shop, be smart, and think about what you need done. For example, if you need something like a poster, even a small booklet, places like PrintKig, I think, are very affordable. And also, if you need a comic book printed, like a very small comic book, things like Comics Press and Kablam. These places accept files of all the pages, and then they print them and bind them and send them to you. Lulu.com for print-on-demand. Now, they're a little bit more expensive. Traditionally, I think they compete more for places like Blurb and other textbook printings, but they do art stuff too, but it's you have to look at the prices. Printing images, especially color, is more expensive. I mean, black and white is cheaper. Printing books of images versus books of text. If you've got text and you want to have it printed, you know, MagCloud is for magazines. They sell online and also print versions of your magazines. But the thing is with that, I've tried their online things, you know, their their file sharing, file publishing sharing sites. You know, it's designed so you can have a print copy of it, and you can also use it for digital. And I've tried that just to test it out, and when you know it, it was basically they took my file and they stamped this really ugly watermark on it. And it's like, well, you guys didn't make this. I made the file. I can go upload this to Gumroad. I don't need you guys to make it for me. Now, there's also places like CreateSpace, which is basically Amazon. They've looked at the print-on-demand, which, if I haven't explained it before, print-on-demand is when somebody orders something, they print it. Now, this is good for you if you want to order a whole bunch and want to keep a stock and take to a show and you just need to order so many. And it's also good for you if you want to have an online store and you don't want to keep a huge stock of books because it's... When you start printing books and you print up like 200 of them and you take them to a show and you sell 5 and then you come back home and you've got that 195 books looking at you and then you go to another show and you don't sell any and, you know, or you want to have another book and you print up a bunch and you've got this back stock that you've got to maintain and everything. It's easier to do stuff on print on demand, but the thing is with that, these companies wouldn't exist if they weren't if they didn't have a way to profit off of it. So you have to realize that printing on demand, there's a markup for them, and if you're trying to sell stuff through their stores, like I was saying with Lulu.com, if you're trying to sell through their stores, your profit from that printing of that one individual book is going to be very narrow. The idea is that the more people buy, the more percentage you get. You're going to want to watch what sites take in what percentage of a base price before you add on. And sometimes it's just easier to sell for... You're really going to make more selling for yourself, but there's a lot of benefits you have to weigh in. Selling stuff online in a place where people are going to purchase things and then they might happen to see your book, it's more likely for them to find your book that way than to happen upon your site. So it's a matter of eyes and how elevated and visible your product is versus by yourself and putting money into promotion. So you have to weigh in where you are in the whole publishing spectrum. Again, if you're getting books printed, you should really be thinking about where they're going. If you're taking them to a convention and there's people there, it can't hurt to have a couple of books, but really getting a whole lot when nobody knows who you are, especially, you know, it depends on what kind of book too. People often buy trade paperback size collections, but if you're printing a floppy couple, you know, issues like I've tried doing, people don't really seem to respond to that because it's, I don't know. People's buying habits are funny. People actually like to have full collections of works. So books sell better than singles. That's why, you know, the big two, Marvel and DC, they print trade paperbacks all the time because, yeah, they're known for their single issues, but people really, really like the collected ones. So there's that. Also, if you're doing print-on-demand, if you're doing an actual book collection of a year of your comic or, you know, so or whatever, of a thick collection, it's a good idea to look into getting an ISBN number because that's the book number. They'll get it into Barnes & Noble. They'll get it into the Library of Congress, stuff like that, and it makes it's better for copywriting and everything, and it's also better for getting people to order copies of it from your printer. So there's stuff like that. Also, for print on demand, it's more expensive for the smaller runs. If you actually have a big run and you're ordering thousands at a time, this is where the budget gets better because the cost per copy, because they're printing so many. Versus, well, you print a small one, they have to take the time for that and set things up, and it's not really cost-efficient for them, and it's a lot cheaper for you to have a bigger run. Things like NewspaperClub.com, they print on newsprint from the downtime at regular newspaper presses. So it's like, you know, hey, if you want to print your own newspaper or see your stuff in print on newsprint, that's awesome. But you can take a look at the prices and suddenly realize why, oh, having, you know, 25, 50, 100 of these isn't as cost-efficient as making, like, 1,000. And that's why large-run prints, you can get books a lot cheaper per copy. Now, the thing is, you want to go around and you want to get quotes. Now, if you're wanting to get a comic book printed, the real biggest printers are places like Transcontinental. There was Quebecor, but I believe they got bought by Transcon? I'm not quite sure of the details of all that. But there's Transcontinental, Marquis Livery, there's Active Media, Sheridan Group, Quad Graphics, and you also want to shop around. There might be a printer in your area that does large runs of books at an affordable price. Again, shop around both online and in person for your particular needs. You'll be able to find stuff. Everyone has different opinions, you know, like, oh, this place might be great for me, but I've had bad experiences with, and I sometimes weigh things out. Sometimes the store might have a better online presence. Places like CreateSpace that have the Amazon power behind them, if you get an ISBN for your book and Amazon is printing it, they're doing print on demand, but it shows up on the Amazon bookstore. Then there's also incentives that if your book is exclusive to them, that might work better than also selling it through, say, an iTunes ebook sales or selling it on your own site, or, like we've said, Gumroad, other things. Gumroad is for online file purchases, like PDFs and MP3s and stuff like that. I mean, you can run those kind of things through your own site of having it hidden behind a password or hidden behind some other lock system, but, you know, Gumroad makes it easy and just shows you stats and has all kinds of stuff figured out for you. In fact, the next episode of the podcast, I'm going to be talking about e-commerce and selling stuff online yourself and having someone else do it and details about that. I mean, I'm no expert on it, but I've spent a lot of time looking and researching and trying to figure it out. And I'm sure once I find some big secret, I'll mention it in another episode. But that's it for this week. Stay tuned, and I'll see you on the other side. More, visit NoRightsProductions.com. Follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/NoRights. And hey, why don't you check out my Tumblr at NoRights.tumblr.com.